In the air, left field. Back goes Gurriel, and Nate Eaton hits a home run for his first big league hit. In a 10-pitch at-bat with one out in the ninth inning.
Well, that's not a bad time to get your first Major League Baseball hit, a home run, a little insurance in the ninth inning. As the Royals down 10 players in Toronto, they called up infielders Nick Prado, Mikel Garcia, Michael Massey, catchers Sebastian Rivero and Freddie Fermin, outfielder Brewer Hicklin, utility man Nate Eaton, who hit his first career homer, as you just heard there, and lefty Angel Zerpa, who made his second career start and his third career appearance. And he made the start last night against the Blue Jays up in Toronto, and all he did was go out and pitched very well. Five innings, one run. Jackson Coar, two innings, no runs. Taylor Clark, an inning, no runs. Scott Barlow, a 16th save. Bobby Witt Jr. with his 13th homer of the year. Nick Prado made his Major League debut, went 0-for-3 with a walk. And the Royals, down 10 players, beat the Blue Jays 3-1. And so now, it was kind of funny, Nate Eaton, when he hit his home run, he said all he could hear was his mom cheering from behind the dugout. That's how quiet it was in Toronto. You know, that Toronto just fired their manager, and that obviously solved their problems, didn't it? But they extra little insurance by Eaton with a home run, and he's 25. And then the bullpen was outstanding, and the Royals get the win. They're now 36-53. Game two of the four-game set tonight in Toronto. Zach Greinke on the hill, 3-5, ERA 4.52. First pitch, 6.07 in Canada. Mike Matheny on his team stepping up.
Yeah, it's one of the best wins of the year. I mean, all things considered, and we feed off of these guys, and they're just I don't know if I've seen a group happy. I mean, it felt like playoff. Just and for them, you could just see the true just care and concern they have, and the excitement they have for the young players that have stepped in here and helped us win a major league game. I mean, that's it's special, and so many guys had big days today.
And there have been people saying, listen, let's just play the young guys. The older guys aren't part of the future anyway. Well, this has kind of sped up the process, at least for four games. Of course, these other guys will be back. And there are some interesting things. I was watching a podcast of my friend Seren Petro and Dr. Randy Gisserli last night. They made some interesting comments about some various things that might be happening behind the scenes with the Royals right now. So we'll touch upon that here in a moment. But first, local baseball from last night.
Yes, K-18 East Regional Semifinals in Concordia last night. The CCABA Clay Center Tigers winning over Clifton Clyde 7-1, and Russell beat Lincoln 16-5. Sets up today's games. Third place, Clifton Clyde against Lincoln at 6:30. 25 minutes following that will be Clay Center against Russell in the championship here tonight. That full updated bracket can be found at ncksports.com. You can also find all the updated Pee Wee District Baseball Tournament brackets. District 1 at Beloit last night in the semis. Beloit Rampage over Pike Valley 5-2, and the Concordia Legion over Concordia Chevys 10-1. Finals on Friday have Pike Valley against Concordia Chevys at 6:30 for third place coming up this evening, and Beloit Rampage takes on Concordia Legion at 8 o'clock. District 2 at Concordia, Smith Center winning over the Beloit Mudcats, 9-0. Osborne winning over the Concordia Knights 10-0, and third place game between the Mudcats and Concordia Knights at 6:30 for Concordia tonight in District 2, and then championship around 8 o'clock, Osborne against Smith Center. In District 3, Valley Heights, Waterville hosting that. Valley Heights winning 16-1 over Clyde. Clifton over Concordia Lions 8-2. Third place game has the Lions of Concordia against Clyde at 6:30. Championship Clifton against Valley Heights at 8 o'clock tonight. Also, those full brackets are updated, and you can find them all at ncksports.com. In Pee Wee District tournaments, the top three teams make it to the state tournament next week, so you have to win that third place game for all those that I mentioned that are playing in third place games tonight to make it to state next week. As far as K-18, everybody that's still alive there in that East Regional will make it to the state tournament in K-18, so they're all just kind of playing for placement in the tournament and also placement on their bracket at state in K-18. Again, all those brackets are posted. The latest in local sports can be found at ncksports.com.
All right, congrats to those teams that are moving on to state tournaments and others that are trying to qualify here as we conclude the summer sports season here in North Central Kansas. So the Royals last night were the biggest underdogs of any team for any game all season long in Major League Baseball. And they end up winning. But there is another step and layer to this, couple layers to the Royal situation. And this one really is infuriating. And if you're yesterday, Dusty said he was annoyed. I was irked. I want to see what Dusty feels about this, though, because I really want to dial it up, Jason, and I want to get Dusty to the irked level. Okay.
See the blood boils.
Yeah, a little bit.
Get a
I
little
do.
Color in them.
I do. Yeah, I do. See. Yeah. Are you aware of who else didn't make the trip to Toronto?
I am, yeah.
Yeah, and are you annoyed or irked by that?
I'm just irked by him in general.
Well, thank you. So I got him to irk.
Like, this
guy Cal Eldred, the pitching coach for the Royals, is not vaccinated.
Yeah, that guy should not even be on.
He should have been fired years ago.
Yeah.
So the Royals have a guy that isn't doing his job, hasn't gotten results, and then and by the way, notice he wasn't there and the Royals' pitchers were outstanding. Coincidence? I don't know. Somebody said, I noticed they pitched inside a little bit more. I'm like, maybe it's a coincidence. Maybe it's because Cal Eldred isn't there. There are so many things to peel. There's so many layers to this Royal situation with the 10 players. And forget whether you are for or against a person having their choice to get vaccinated or not. The bottom line is this. 10 Royals players chose not to get vaccinated. They have that right. Whit Merrifield, Andrew Benintendi, Hunter Dozier were three of the main guys. MJ Melendez, one of the younger guys. But there were 10. Brady Singer, Brad Keller, others. So there were 10. But also, there were three staff members that are not vaccinated. That would be their pitching coach, who should not be their pitching coach, Cal Eldred, assistant hitting coach, and a bullpen coach. So there's three members of your staff. You're short going to Toronto for four games, not one night, one game. Mm-hmm. You're short 10 players. And when you saw the Royals last night win, and I agree with Mike Matheny, the younger guys were like, this is like a playoff game. Nick Prado's debut, you know, Nate Eaton with the home run. This was mostly young guys. And Angel Zerpa, a 22-year-old, throws five innings of one-run ball. And it was like, hey, Triple-A baseball moved up to the big leagues, and the Triple-A guys are better than the pro guys. That's kind of how I felt. And it was refreshing. These guys were all hustling. All these guys seemed to be into it. They were having fun and enjoyed themselves. And I think, and this is another layer to this whole thing. Watching this podcast last night and various people that said some things here in the last 24 hours, the New York Yankees, every one of their players is vaccinated. Aaron Judge last year publicly was like, I don't really want to get it. I'm not going to get it. Then he eventually did. You know what? His teammates got him in line. It's one thing when there's one or two guys that aren't getting vaccinated. You know, he's just a little bit different. Whether that's a good or a bad thing. Or, you know what? It's not a big deal. It's just a guy on the team that isn't that big part of the team anyway. Or, you know what? We can deal with it. But when you have 10 of your 25 or 26 in your clubhouse, plus three staff members, that means that 40% of your people, 35 to 40% on the big league roster / coaching staff, is not vaccinated. Do you know and do you understand that when the Royals go out to travel, they have this impacts the guys that are vaccinated? Last year, this is according to Seren and his sources, last year the Royals, when they went on the road, they didn't go out very much. Usually when you go on the road, you go on the town, you go eat, you go do this. A lot of the Royals were like staying in hotel rooms, and they're wearing their gaiters and their mask. And so what that does is it hurts the guys that did get vaccinated, because now they can't do as much as they normally would because 10 guys on the team won't get vaccinated. And once again, that's their choice. But the point of the story is the Astros, everybody's vaccinated. Who are the two best teams in the American League?
Yankees
and Astros. There's no, well, we're all in this together. We want to win, and we're not going to let a vaccination, even if I feel like I don't feel great about getting a vaccination, but I feel even stronger that I need to be there for my team. Now, Jason mentioned yesterday the Boston Red Sox closer, he hasn't got vaccinated, and he missed a trip to Toronto, and that hurt the Red Sox in one game, no doubt. And if they don't make the playoffs because of one game, you could point to that. And so that was the knock on Kyrie Irving last year, is that, well, listen, he has his choice. He has his right. We respect that. That's great. But he's letting his team down. And I think both can be right. You can say both of those things. And Kyrie Irving is putting his status and his choice above the team, which, once again, is his choice. It's clear that it rubbed his teammates the wrong way. It definitely rubbed the organization the wrong way. And when almost everybody else on the team eventually, there was a few others that held out, but eventually got vaccinated for the Nets, and it torpedoed their season. There is no question it torpedoed their season. And Durant getting hurt didn't help either. Mm-hmm. And Harden being a malcontent. It was a mess. But Kyrie started the whole mess. Not that he should have gotten vaccinated. I'm not saying he should have, but he could have. And he put his personal well-being above the team, which some people out there listening to the show would say, well, you got to watch out for yourself. Others tell me you got to play in a bowl game because you're letting your team down. Well, if that's the case, then if everybody's getting vaccinated on your team, you should get vaccinated. When the majority of the players are getting vaccinated, you need to get vaccinated. If you care about your team and you want to be successful and you're a key part of the team, and I would say Andrew Benintendi is a key part, Whit Merrifield's a key part, Hunter Dozier's a key part, Brad Keller's a key part, Brady Singer's a key part. There's five. MJ Melendez, very big key part.
Michael A. Taylor.
I mean, he's a pretty big part. There's seven.
The way this team is built.
You have seven starters there, so counting starting pitchers. So it's a choice. You have a right to the choice. But you could tell Dayton Moore was on Sorin's show yesterday, and you could tell he was frustrated. Dayton Moore is not one that really shows his emotions on his sleeves. He was frustrated, and he said the right things publicly about, you know, we support their choice, and we've tried to educate them on this and do this and do that. But listen, when you even have staff members aren't vaccinated, how can you tell the players they should get vaccinated? Mm-hmm. Now, it starts at the top. You know, Dayton Moore's vaccinated. He says he is. Hopefully your owner is vaccinated. I've said this before, and you guys know this. Last couple of years with the whole COVID-19 situation is when owners are telling their players everybody needs to get vaccinated or you're not going to play, whether it's a mandate, whether it's a team organizational thing. And I've said this, in fairness to the players, the owners need to publicly come out and we need to know if they're vaccinated. Because if the owners aren't getting vaccinated, then the players shouldn't have to. And the owners shouldn't say you have to get vaccinated. Mm-hmm. Because if you're not willing to take the needle and take the shot, then why should the players? If you chose as an owner not to take one, how can you sit here and go, well, we need you guys to play? Well, yeah, for your own pockets. But you didn't take it. And I think sometimes the players get the raw deal from that standpoint. We've talked about it before. Players are the ones you see. The coaches are the ones you see. You don't see the owners. Like, John Sherman hasn't said a word. He's a majority owner of the Royals. He has not said a word about this. And I'm not saying he should. I'm not saying he needs to. But some owners would. And you're not going to hear from him probably for a while. There are Royals fans that are ticked off that were trolling and making fun of Hunter Dozier and others that were on Twitter last night supporting their younger teammates. And they were like, yeah, and you're not there. Hunter Dozier, and Randy Jazzurli put this out there last night, and I thought it was very, very interesting. I hadn't thought about it. You know, we talked about Whit quite a bit yesterday. He's a leader on the team. He's part of the competition committee in Major League Baseball. He is the Royals player rep, by the way, and I now hear that he's no longer the player rep, which how can you be after what he did and what he said? And then he later on said, well, you know, that didn't come out right. Well, it came out very clear. And Dr. Randy Jazzurli said last night, you know what's funny? In political terms, when they call a gaffe is when you accidentally tell the truth. And Whit Merrifield, I don't even know if he accidentally did it, but he told the truth. He's basically saying, our organization stinks. We're not any good. I'm not getting vaccinated, but I will, possibly, if I'm on a team that's going to make the playoffs and we go to Toronto. And let me tell you something. If Whit Merrifield has a chance to go to the Toronto Blue Jays, don't you think he's probably getting vaccinated?
Oh, yeah.
I would bet you he will. Andrew Benintendi, probably the same thing. That's going to be a clause in any deal in a trade situation that, listen, I'm going to trade for Andrew Benintendi, Michael A. Taylor, or Whit Merrifield, especially in the American League. I need to know that you're going to be vaccinated or you have to get vaccinated before I trade for you. Because why would I trade for a guy if he's going to miss 4, 5, 6, 7 games or a playoff game or a series in Toronto? I got to know as the Yankees or the Red Sox or the Rays or whoever, and I trade for you, I need to know you're going to be there for all the games. Now, yes, you might get hurt. That's a whole different situation, or get sick. But you and our team, the New York Yankees, everybody's vaccinated. Do you think the Yankees are going to trade for a guy that refuses to get vaccinated?
No.
No. Not when, now, if they had 5 or 6 guys on a team that weren't vaccinated right now, then, yeah, they might be more open to it. But there's no way, because they're uniform. They're unified as a team. They're a collective unit, and they've all agreed, some probably reluctantly, yeah, I got vaxxed. They did it for the team. And no coincidence, I think, that the Royals are one of the worst teams in baseball, and The Yankees and Astros are the two best teams in the American League. They're all vaccinated. The Royals, I mean, there's 30 to 40% that are not. Is this a failure in leadership by the Royals? Is it a failure of the upper management, Dayton Moore, Sherman, J.J. Piccolo? Is there too much put on them? Is there not enough blame going against them? When Cal Eldred is allowed to do something like this, and once again, it is his choice, but at the same time, you know, why are we going this way? But Jazeera Lee said last night, Whit Merrifield, people are giving him a lot of hard time, and rightfully so because of what he said. The Royals have treated Whit Merrifield pretty good since he was a good player. Remember that everybody in Major League Baseball passed on Whit Merrifield. He was available in the Rule 5 draft. So people say, well, the Royals didn't know what they had. Nobody in baseball knew what Whit Merrifield was about. Mm-hmm. Nobody. So he made a good point. He's like, the Royals, let's be honest, every single team in baseball didn't know what they had in Whit Merrifield, or they would have grabbed him in the Rule 5. Then, of course, he didn't make the 15 World Series roster. Mondesi was on at the age of 19. Witt had outplayed Mondesi, but he was older than Mondesi. Mondesi more potential, so he was kept down. Mondesi came up. Then he got hurt, and then Witt came up, and he proved that he was a good player, worked his tail off, became a leader on the team. But once the Royals knew he could play at the big league level, they've taken care of him. They have. They've given him more money when they didn't technically have to. They actually held on to him longer than they should have. Obviously, hindsight's 20/20, and so forth. He's been a leader of the team. He's been one of the faces of the team. And he plays every day until he hurt his toe, or we think he hurt his toe, and now he didn't get vaccinated, so now he's not going to play, and the streak would end it anyway. But Hunter Dozier sits here, as Dr. Randy Jazeera was saying, with a free pass. And why is this? Like, why is this? He goes, if there's ever a guy that should be stepping up to the plate and getting vaccinated or playing for the Royals this week, it's Hunter Dozier. And I didn't think about this until he pointed out. 2019, Hunter Dozier at 28 homers and 84 RBIs was really good. In 2020, the COVID year, he sucked. He was horrible, disappeared. He got COVID. He actually got COVID, and it knocked him down and kind of ruined his year. The Royals, even after a horrible shortened season, gave him a big deal. He's got $18 million guaranteed over this year and next year, and he's just now getting back to maybe the hitter he was a few years ago, although not as much power. Mm-hmm. He is a below-level defensive player. His wins above replacement, he's basically an average player at best, and that's only because he's hitting more. He is a liability defensively. He doesn't have a clear spot on the field, which that's part on the Royals, I think, jerking him around, too. But Hunter Dozier, if there's ever a guy that maybe should be vaccinated or maybe not forget vaccinated, but owes it to the team to suck it up and maybe go ahead and get vaccinated, and all this money is coming to him, the Royals have taken care of him more than they needed to. And Hunter Dozier is one of these 10 people that did not get vaxxed, is not there for four games, and so forth and so on. Now, granted, these guys don't get paid during these four games because they're on the restricted list. But it's an interesting point that Randy Jazeera put out there, and it brings to the point, do players owe the organization anything? The Royals have said for a while, they paid their minor leaguers during COVID and the shutdown. A lot of teams did not. The Royals have been very good towards their players financially. They've taken care of guys probably more than they should have. Alex Gordon would be a great example. Chris Young, they re-signed after 15. They didn't need to do that. They gave Salvi more money when they didn't have to. It could have said, hey, this is your contract. Lorenzo Cain got extra money. The Royals have done this, and they've taken care of their players fairly well, as much as they can as a small market team. And this is what they get back in return. And I'm not saying that players owe everything to the organization, because you do have to look out for yourself, because it is your body, it is your life, and it is your career. I get all of that. But here's the other layer of the situation. So put all that aside for a second. I just threw it out there for you guys to think about. What happens when the All-Star break is over and these 10 guys come back? And Cal Eldred and two other staff members. What happens in this clubhouse? There has been reports there's been tension before. Maybe it's because of some of this. These players have been vaccinated, have had to deal with restrictions they shouldn't have to because other guys have refused to get vaccinated. So there is a split. Obviously there's a split. You got 16 players that got vaxxed and 10 that didn't. There is a gigantic split. And no other team in baseball has this issue. Why is it just the Royals? Is it because the Royals management is a little way too laxed? Are the Royals saying, well, you know, we love you guys. We think you should get vaxxed. But, you know, it's really just your decision. We'll back off. And there's no pressure to get vaccinated, which maybe that's a good thing. But right now for the team, it's not. And then it becomes a national story. And it looks like these guys don't want to win. They don't care about being there for their teammates. It's a bad look, especially what Witt said. And how do you, if you're Bobby Witt Jr., let's use him as an example. Bobby Witt Jr., is obviously vaccinated, and he's playing really good ball right now. And honestly, he's going to be the leader of this team sooner than later. Salvador Perez, by the way, is really the leader of this team, but he's hurt. But last year, according to Seren Petro, he told everybody, we all need to get vaccinated. He's like, we need to be on the same page. And apparently, not everybody followed Salvi. So give Salvi credit for trying to do that. Of course, players from other countries have to be vaccinated to come in, too. That's part of it. So if you're the looking from Bobby Witt's perspective, Whit Merrifield comes back. Well, he's no longer the player rep, according to reports. He's lost respect in that clubhouse. I guarantee you Whit Merrifield has. So is Hunter Dozier. Enderbin Tinde is probably not going to be part of this team much longer because I think he's still going to get traded. What about Michael A. Taylor? I mean, you've got veterans here. Hunter Dozier, Whit Merrifield are the two veterans on this team right now in the everyday lineup because Salvi's hurt. So what does Bobby Witt Jr. think about all this? You know, what does Zach Greinke? You're going to go extreme the other opposite, 38-year-old pitcher. What does he think about this? I mean, the dynamics of these guys coming back in, and on top of that, your pitching coach coming back into the fray after the All-Star break, what kind of dynamic is that? Don't you feel like there's got to be even more tension? Because now everybody in the world knows what's happening. And that there is a obviously a difference in philosophical terms in regards to getting vaccinated or not, that all these players, including the ones that are vaccinated, are going to get questions about this now. And young guys that haven't had to deal with this, like Bobby Witt Jr., are going to have to answer questions about this. If the reporters do their job, they probably should be asking these questions. How, and I know the Royals aren't very good, and they're 17 games under 500, but they're still professional paid players. And maybe the Royals can get hot and maybe get close to 500 and build something for next year. How does this work? What's the dynamic when these guys come back in the clubhouse? I just can't see how it's going to be very smooth. And the other thing is, Seren said last night, he said, Whit Merrifield is not going to be a Royal after this year. He said, there are a lot of people, he said, there's one person in the organization said I'd be okay letting him go now, according to Seren sources. There are people in the Royals organization that are so pissed off right now at Whit Merrifield. They're upset. Now, the Royals are saying the right things publicly, but kind of secretly talking with some different people. Seren and other people talked to Royals since this all happened. And Seren said, by the way, this is no surprise. There are people in the media that knew about this, but and they're like, well, why didn't you bring this up 3 months ago? He's like, why would I bring up something about a series for 3 months from now when these guys could get vaccinated between now and then? Yeah. Why would I bring it up? And he's got a great point. He goes, we waited. He goes, I'm not surprised there were 10. He goes, I thought there might be a couple more. He goes, last year we knew when the Royals were traveling, and media people that went with the Royals, that cover the Royals, like Alec Lewis, they knew and they saw players still wearing masks and gaiters. And it's like, why would you do that? Other guys aren't on the team, but you are. Well, that just shows that you're not vaccinated. So they knew there was a split then. So anybody close to the Royals that followed them knew that this was coming. The Royals knew this was coming. Mm-hmm. Dayton Moore knew it was coming. This is no big surprise except to the general public and to all of us on the outside. Yeah. And so now, what do you do with Whit Merrifield? You're not going to get much for him, probably. All right. Michael A. Taylor is hurt right now, or so we think. He would think he'll get traded. What about Hunter Dozier? Nobody's going to take his contract, so you're stuck with probably Hunter Dozier.
You weren't going to trade Hunter Dozier before this.
Right. You're not going to trade him after. No. Benintendi, you can still trade because there's still interest. And here's the thing. You can still maybe trade Whit Merrifield because he says, well, I might get vaccinated if I go to a good team. So don't trade him to a bad team. Trade him to a good team. You're not going to probably get a lot for him. But the point of the matter is, Whit Merrifield has lost a lot of respect within the Royals organization, according to sources. And he's no longer going to be considered a leader of this team when he wasn't there for four games. It's amazing. A week ago, he's an Iron Man, always out there in the lineup. Had he not had his big toe hurt, which we still wonder if that's legitimate or not, he would have let his team down and ended the streak himself by not getting vaccinated. Once again, his choice. So there's so many layers to unravel with the Royals and how they move forward. But I think the simplest way to put it is, do you think Whit Merrifield is part of this team 2 years from now? And I've said this for a while. No.
No.
I've said this for a long time. The only guy that's on this team that I think is on this team like a few years from now is Salvador Perez in regards to the veterans, older guys. You know, obviously, I think Brad Keller will be if the Royals take care of him financially. Brady Singer, younger guys, yes. But we know Michael A. Taylor ain't going to be part of this team 2 years from now. And that's really what people think. The Royals 2 years from now, we push the bar back again. This is when we're going to be good again. Maybe next year we will be. But Michael A. Taylor ain't part of the future. Zach Greinke isn't part of the future. And Zach, by the way, is vaccinated, so I don't want to mix that up. Whit Merrifield's not part of the future. So move them. If they're a problem in the clubhouse and you want to go with the young guys, and last night you saw that energy, that passion, the guys caring, and Mike Matheny saying they acted like it was a playoff game, you know what? Fans are going to go watch these guys a lot more. Here's the other problem you have for the Royals. This is not going to help ticket sales, whether the Royals get hot or not. I mean, granted, it helps when you win. The Royals have played good baseball last week or two. This is not going to go over very well. Home games, Whit Merrifield coming back. I mean, Royals fans take it as a slap in the face, and rightfully so, that you don't want to play here anymore. And you don't, you know, and I think some people get it. Well, Whit wants to win. And I understand where Whit's coming from, no doubt about it. But he made a mistake. There's no doubt. And it's torpedoed. And he more than likely, and maybe this is exactly what he wants, is not going to be around, according to everybody that I've heard from, past this season. And it's unfortunate because he's been a really good player for the Royals. He's been an all-star. He's worked his butt off. And hopefully he can go another team and have success and make the playoffs and then be eligible to play. I'm okay with that. But how do you move forward if you're the Royals organization? Where do you go from here? When this, because like somebody said, the Royals aren't surprised or shocked by anything that happened in the last 48 hours. Not a single thing has surprised or shocked the Royals last 48 hours, except for Whit Merrifield's coming.
Well, they told Nick Prado earlier this week, hey, how do you feel about not playing in the Futures game?
Yeah.
Because you're not going to be able to, because we're going to have to call you up.
They had other guys out of the lineup, knew they were going to come up to Toronto.
Before anybody even knew this was happening.
Right.
They had already talked to these guys at Omaha, said, hey, you're getting called up. You're going to be going to the big league club because we need you, and things like that.
But so what the Royals didn't anticipate was Whit. What he said. That's what made this a national story. Like it was borderline, you know. But once Whit said what he said, you had the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, you have Sports Illustrated, you have people, you know, criticizing, calling the Royals these players losers, which like Dusty said, well they are. They're 35-53. They're not losers as people, but as a team and as players.
You literally said they're not winning players, yeah,
right.
Obviously.
Not winning players, they're losing. But that was what really kind of torpedoed it even more. Mm. Like the Royals were prepared for all of this. They were, except for what Whit said. And it comes from the guy that's a leader on your team that has been an all-star. If it came from Cam Gallagher, wouldn't be a story.
Nobody cares, no. The funny thing was, like, because you weren't here on Monday, but Jason and I was talking with Jason about this, and I was like, when Whit got taken out of the game on Sunday, everybody's like, oh, hug watch is on now, like, because they're so upset Whit might get traded, you know, because that was kind of the thinking when he got pulled out, because we didn't see the video at that point right away. Everybody's like, is he getting traded? Why is he getting pulled out of the game in the fifth inning? It didn't look like he got hurt or anything.
Right.
So everybody right away is like, well, he's gone. He's getting traded in a hug watch, and everybody loves Whit. And it's like, by the end of the week, everybody hates Whit, it sounds like.
Nobody's like,
get him traded. Get his butt out of here. Like, we don't want him here anymore. It's so funny that just within a week, hug watch was on Sunday afternoon because we can't handle losing Whit Merrifield. And by the end of the week, probably about half of those people that were saying that are like, get him out of here. We don't need him anymore. And it's just like, well, that changes pretty fast, doesn't it? When something goes down that you don't like about it. And that's the fanatic part of it, right?
Sure.
That we talk about all the time. But it's just, I don't know if ironic's the word, but funny is definitely for me is of how quick that shifts from, oh, man, I don't want him to leave. I love Whit. And to, yeah, get him out of here.
Think about what you just said and the moral of the story. And this applies to anybody in any part of life. How powerful words are.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about people bullying people. Words hurt more than the physical part. It's the mental part that hurts. And we've all gone through it. We've had somebody in our lives, all of us, that have hurt us one way or another, whether it was a ex-girlfriend, a family member, with something they might have said that really hurt us, you know? Somebody, or we did that. We've all probably done that to somebody we care about. We've messed up at one point, and we let something slip out, like maybe Whit simply did. Whit's human. Whit said it out loud. I understand. Like, I agree. I think, you know, the truth accidentally came out there. But to go from where you just went, from Sunday to Thursday, basically, or Wednesday night, Whit went from, we love this guy, oh no, we know he probably needs to get traded to help the team, but we really don't want to do that because he's been so good, to, I don't want him around anymore. is because of really one line he made in about a 30-second thing that was online, and you can't take it back. You cannot go back, as Mike Trant said, and erase that. Yeah. You cannot. And so it shows how powerful words can be and how somebody and the fan base, and yes, they're fanatical, but how quickly they can turn because they feel disrespected and slapped in the face, and that's how Royals fans feel. They feel like, I supported Whit Merrifield all this time, and we did this and we did that. And I always said I didn't want him traded. And then this is what we get. There are some fans that feel stabbed in the back.
Right. Yeah.
And they have a right to the opinion.
Felt, I had to tell Jason on Monday, like, I never felt that way about Whit. Like, I was a fan of Whit, but it's like, man. It's like, I felt that way when Hosmer signed somewhere else. When Kane signed somewhere else. Like, those guys that actually won stuff for us. When I felt that way.
You know, my biggest problem with Whit has nothing to do with the Royals. Really. Like, my problem with Whit isn't the line that Royals fans are upset with about, well, you know, I'm not vaccinated, but I would consider getting vaccinated. I went to a playoff or postseason team. My thing that I have a problem with Whit is he sets it all up. I've done the research. We've done the research. Yeah. We've done this and did this. And then you say, I'm not getting vaccinated because of this research. But then you say, well, but if I'm on a winning team or I can go to the postseason, I might get vaccinated. Well, you're not very strong in your research convictions, are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, Randy Zazzurri said last night, he goes, he's going to go with research from people, but he doesn't trust the medical field or science. He goes, I'm a baseball expert and I'm a doctor for my full-time job. And he says, Royals players have actually said, well, you don't play. What do you know? And he goes, now the Royals are doctors and scientists. And he goes, I'm finally in my aura, and you don't know what you're talking about. It is safe. It is okay. That's his words, okay? Yeah, yeah. And it is interesting. That's my biggest problem. Whit, listen, if you want to come out and say, I'm not getting vaccinated, I don't believe in it, I don't think I need it, I will not take it. It'll be like Kyrie Irving. I mean, at least Kyrie is consistent. Yeah. Like, say, I'm not going to get it. But when you say, well, the research and all this and this and this and this and this and this and this backs up me not getting vaccinated. However, I'll completely throw that out the window if you trade me to the Yankees or a good team so that I can play in Toronto next time in Canada if it's a playoff game. Well, that's the problem I have with it. You're basically saying, and this is where the Royals fans have a problem with it, is the Royals aren't worth me getting a vaccination. That's what you're saying. But the other teams that are better are. That's what you're saying, and that's what has Royals fans upset.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll try to go kind of quickly on a few different things.
Sure.
But like, it does show an organizational mess, I think, a little bit with the three staff members, especially.
Yes.
Nick Saban, who runs, is Alabama's coach.
I've heard of him.
He hates everything that isn't in between the lines.
Yes. Yeah.
He hates picture day because it's 10 minutes that is a distraction away from inside the field. So you kind of had this feeling he hates all of this vaccine talk. But he had the vaccine and doctors and nurses brought to his team, one of the first ones to do it, because he knew it would be a advantage for his team to find the easiest way to get as many of his players vaccinated as possible.
Yep.
And they did it, and they've been successful. Tom Brady, who is the freakiest athlete about putting things in his body, the strictest guy, got the vaccine because if maybe for no other reason, maybe he believes in it, I don't know, but he knew it would be an advantage out on the field.
Yes.
If I got it, my teammates got it, and some other teams didn't. This goes to show. This also shows you have three staff members. Now, professional sports, I think people don't always realize there isn't this close connection between coaches and players as we like to think, especially in the high school and college, right? It's different.
There is there, but pros,
it's there, not as much. But it's not near as much. So do they need, you know, are they tight 150 of these games a year? No. These guys are needed in situations like this where we have this huge roster upheaval for whatever reason, and now when you need those staff members the most, they're not there.
Mm-hmm.
So that goes to show, to me, that's another thing. You can add it to this list of the organizations. Some of these people might have to go because of some of these reasons. I'm not saying one reason is fireable, but you start listing these things and it looks kind of bad.
Is it possible that Whit Merrifield is a leader on the team? I don't know about now. Is it possible that if he had been vaccinated, more of these guys that weren't would be?
Yes.
Especially the younger guys. Because you look at your leaders. Salvi's got vaccinated.
I'm just like, if Salvi can't do it, how's Whit going
to
do it?
Well, no, but what I'm saying
to
is...
To get the other
what
guys
I'm,
to
What
do
I'm
it.
Saying is some guys might look up more to Whit than to Salvi.
Yeah.
They have more in common with Whit than they do Salvi. And they say, well, okay, well, Whit and Salvi got vaccinated. They're the leaders on the team. If they're going to get vaccinated, then I'm going to get vaccinated. Whereas if Salvi says vaccinated, but then you go, well, but Whit's not getting vaccinated, so now I got to rethink this. Whereas if Salvi and Whit were unified and said, hey, listen, we're getting vaccinated. I don't know if we really fully want to, but we need to for the team's sake. I think most of those guys would fall in line, especially the younger guys would fall in line. And the other thing I'll say too is Major League Baseball, these guys travel together more than any professional sports league in any sport. They're going on, 15-day road trips. They got to hang. They even if they don't like each other, they're hanging out and they're with each other every single day. Almost every single day, because they might have an off day, but usually even off day, they'll still go to the park and do something. And now you got to deal with these restrictions all year long because 10 guys don't want to get vaccinated, right, and thus causes a strain.
Players follow players, and in baseball more than any other sport, players follow players.
I agree.
Youngsters follow the veterans. Baseball, they try to pair up in a maybe not some official capacity, but they kind of, hey, can you, I will use the Royals as an example, and maybe Zach Greinke is not the best example. They would try to take a Zach Greinke type player and say, hey, can you kind of follow Brady Singer around, or have Brady Singer follow you around and show him how to act on the road, what to do here, what to do there, what to say to the press. So they do that kind of thing. And Major League Baseball is more than others, and players follow players. Players act like players more in baseball than anyone. So I do believe, as a whole, if a veteran in the locker room got vaccinated, or two or three veterans in the locker room got vaccinated, the rest would follow, or most would follow suit. There might be one or two stragglers.
Yeah,
but
I don't think you'd have 10.
Right. You wouldn't have 10. And then as far as the trade goes, I think...
Well, hold that thought for just a second, okay, so we can segue in here. So the it's been reported the Yankees play 3 more games in Toronto this season, but they could possibly play the Blue Jays in the playoffs. And, of course, if Andrew Benintendi does not get vaccinated, he would not be able to play for the Yankees in Toronto, assuming he gets traded to the Yankees. And right now there are reports that the Yankees have gone sour on trading for Andrew Benintendi. Mm. Now, the Mets still are interested in Andrew Benintendi, but, of course, the only time the Mets would go to Canada would be to play Toronto in the World Series, which is highly unlikely. The Blue Jays aren't even in the playoff picture technically right now and just fired their manager. So there's still a lot of people that are interested in Andrew Benintendi. But now, if you're an American League team and you think you're going to make the playoffs, or especially American League East team, you're holding back on trading.
I saw that report. I saw that, too. I also think that might be the Yankees saying, okay, we're going to use this to maybe get in a little bit of an advantage. I'm not going to say they've crossed
I don't think that matters, though. Here's why I don't think that matters. I don't think that's what they're thinking. Here's why I disagree with that. Because as long as there's a few teams interested in him outside the American League East, that doesn't hold any weight.
Yeah.
Now, if there's not a big market for him, if let's say everybody in the league is all sour because of this, then I agree with you.
I just don't think they're if teams have these lists, they know who they're looking at, and they have plan A, B, C, D, E, F, G. If those guys are on the list here now, if some of the teams even thinking about Michael A. Taylor, if some teams even thinking about Whit Merrifield in any capacity, they're still going to be thinking about him in a couple weeks.
I agree.
Maybe not as much, maybe 5-10% less if you want to put something on it like that, but they're not crossing anybody off. These teams have to do what's best for their team as well. So the Yankees are going to look out for the Yankees. And if Benintendi, the number of games that they can get out of him, if they like that, they're still going to go after him and they're still going to try. And, they're not crossing anybody off yet.
No, they're not. And the other thing, too, is – they can easily, everybody knows everybody, and you talk to their agent, roundabout person, and Benintendi can get the message out there, say, hey, man.
Right.
If I'm going to be like Witt, except I didn't say it publicly, I will get vaccinated. I'll get in line. Because the bigger thing, like at the Yankees, why they might sire Andrew Benintendi is not because they don't need him or want him. I don't know if they need him, but they want him, is really it's not necessarily about him missing three games in Toronto. I mean, they can live without him for three games, and they can bring him on board. And the odds are they're not going to play Toronto in a series anyway. So they could say, you know what, we'll bring on Benintendi, and whether he gets vaccinated or not, big deal in regards to the three games. He misses three games. It happens. The bigger issue for the Yankees is when everybody in your clubhouse is vaccinated, do you want to bring a guy in that rocks the boat that doesn't want to get in line? You don't think he's going to be disrespect. I mean, he ain't going to have full respect from the team. You bring in the new guy. The new guy is the one that shouldn't be rocking the boat, okay? That guy needs to get in line. And if Andrew Benintendi or Whit Merrifield or Mike A. Taylor, they get traded and they still refuse to get vaccinated, but everybody else on the Astros or the Yankees, the two examples that we are aware of, then let's say that Mike A. Taylor gets traded to the Astros and Whit Merrifield gets traded to the Yankees. And Benintendi gets traded to the Astros as well. Those teams are going to say, listen, man, we're winning a World Series. That is our only goal. We know you came from a crappy organization right now, or at least a crappy team. We know you don't know what winning is like, Whit Merrifield, because you've never been a winner in the pros. Now, Whit won a college World Series, by the way. He is a champion. But we know how to win here in Houston. We know every year in New York, we expect to win championships. And we don't care whether you want to get vaccinated or not, that's cool. We understand and respect it. But if you want to play for us or you want us to respect you and bring you in and let's sit down and do a whole bunch of things, we have one common goal. And everybody in this locker room is on board. You either get on board or you don't. And let me tell you something. If you're the Yankees and you are seriously thinking about Andrew Benintendi, you've got to, one, find out if he'll do what Whit said and get vaccinated, so that solves that problem. And if you think he might not, but you still think he's worth the risk, you better be talking to your manager. You better be talking and get a pulse from the clubhouse of the Yankees before you trade for Andrew Benintendi so that it doesn't mess up your chemistry. And this could possibly mess up your chemistry without question.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It's definitely, that is a point to consider, and I don't disagree with that at all. I just... Yeah, trade deadline, a lot of smoke, a lot of mirrors.
Sure.
So they play these games a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so, maybe it's possibly the Yankees don't want to pay full price for a guy. And maybe this is a chance to get a little bit discount on him. I don't know. But I just don't think anybody's crossing anybody off just yet. Now, there might be a better option that is, or a equal option that is vaccinated, and that might break the tie.
Yes.
Then, yeah, I get it. But nobody's getting crossed off yet. Even the less likely candidates like Whit Merrifield, Michael A. Taylor, or, they're still on there. They're still in the back of these teams' minds. So if they ever were to begin with, that I should say. But
August 2nd is the trade deadline. So we'll do this real quickly. Move on to a former Chief that retires here in a moment. Andrew Benintendi, traded or not traded?
Yeah, I think Benintendi's going to get traded.
We all agree?
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
Michael A. Taylor, traded or not traded? I will say yes.
I'll say yes if there's a market. I don't know if there's a market for Michael A. Taylor, but
I think
if
you trade him.
If somebody wants him, he will.
Right.
If he's relatively healthy,
I think there's a market for him because I think in the National League, because now you have a DH now, you don't have a pitcher, but defensive replacement. He has a little bit of pop in the bat. He's a good base runner. I think there's a market to they get something from Michael A. Taylor. Plus, the Royals got the Drew Waters kid. They want to see him, I think, play center here sooner than later.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be playing center at some point here this season for the Royals. Kyle Isabel's done okay in center, not defensively, but his bat's been coming around. The Royals have answers there, so I think he'll be traded. I think the bigger question is Whit Merrifield.
I don't think Whit was going to get traded before this. So,
well, I'm not. Well,
I don't think
so
anybody
I'm
really
now.
Wants him now.
I don't care about what happened before.
Yeah, that's
why
I'm saying before, because I don't think anybody's going to trade for him now.
Yeah,
if he's got that kind of attitude, right?
Well, but he said he'll get vaccinated.
Yeah,
he's
but
on a contender.
But what I'm saying is, if that goes around to other people, and it's like this guy's not really a team player anyway. Even if he says he will get vaccinated, it gets traded to another place. I don't think he was going to get traded before. I don't think he's going to get traded now because of that. Because I don't think anybody really. Who needs Whit Merrifield?
I'm sure there's somebody that needs a guy that can move around. The thing about Whit, he still has a lot of versatility.
Yeah, but I don't feel like the Royals were going to get what they would have wanted for Whit anyway.
Don't you think there's somebody out there give at least some little double-A prospect? and take on some of his salary? I mean, surely there's one out of 30 teams that would do that with Whit Merrifield, who has played better lately. His average is moving back up there, mm-hmm. which averages in everything. I mean, you got a guy who was an all-star just a year ago. I mean, I think there is a market for him. I don't think it's a good one, like you said, but you just need one suitor. And if you're the Royals, if you don't feel like you can get a lot for him now anyway, and you think he's a problem now in the clubhouse or going to be a problem, and you've got a guy like Nicky Lopez plays second anyway, and you got guys now that you got Oliveras you like to play. He's played fairly well. He's been healthy. There's really – you don't need Whit in the outfield anymore, honestly. You traded Ben Attende, you've got a spot in the outfield. But then you could see Kyle Isabel playing. You could see Drew Waters they just picked up. You know, you got other guys that can still play. Melendez can play outfield when Salvi comes back to catch. I mean, the Royals got all kinds of options. They don't have to have Whit Merrifield anymore. Yeah. And if he's not part of the long-term picture, which we all agree he won't be, then to me, you might just move him. If somebody's willing to take on some of his salary, a little bit of it at least, and you might get a marginal prospect, that's better than... unless you sit here and you say, wait a minute, he's done got a lot of trade value now. We want more for him. We overvalue him compared to everybody else. We're going to wait, and then we'll go into next season. And then if he starts hot, then we can get more for him. Maybe that's the thinking. I don't know.
See, I think there's a better chance he gets traded than you guys have all along. But
I think there's a chance.
I think
if the Royals are willing to take a lot.
Right. Yeah. They're not, it's not going to be much.
Because this doesn't help him. Like you said, he didn't have a lot of value before. This hurts the value even more.
I would say there's a better chance of an off-season trade. And that way,
could be,
you open up more teams. And you can maybe, you're probably going to have to, you know, Whit's going to make a little bit of money, or I should say a little bit more money than some of these other players. But I think now maybe you have a chance to, other teams are going to say, hey, we'll take Whit. We feel we might be able to use him, but you've got to take back one of our guys that we've soured on a little bit, whether that be they're not performing to their contract. And so I don't think you're going to have to take dollar for dollar, but you might have to take back a mid-level, low-level, major league guy that makes a bit of money and try to find a place for him, whether that's a underachieving bullpen guy or a fifth starter type player that makes a little bit of money. I think that would be a better opportunity, a more likely opportunity for a Whit trade. But I still think there's a chance he gets traded at the deadline.
All right, so here's Whit Merrifield's contract status, because I had somebody ask me about that yesterday as well. Whit Merrifield is making $7 million this year, which isn't really that horrible for baseball. No. Next year, believe it or not, it's $2.7 million, $4 million incentives, so $6.7 against the salary. And then 2024, which we believe he ain't part of this team in 2024 anyway, even before this happened, there's a mutual option, which includes a $500,000 buyout, and we pretty sure the Royals are not going to pick up their side of that, which would be $18 million in 2024. That's why he got, you know, as whatever he could when they restructured the contract, they threw that option in there. So that is something that bigger market teams, the salary ain't going to keep them away from Whit Merrifield.
No.
I mean, the money, honestly, is actually very favorable for the Royals to make a trade. And the other thing, too, Whit Merrifield, what he's doing right now, 5 homers, 36 RBIs, 14 stolen bases. He's hitting .240, which earlier he was hitting like .180, one triple, 18 doubles. He has come on lately. He's been a 2-time All-Star, including last year. So, you know, some team might say, listen, if we can get Whit Merrifield for a marginal prospect, we might have to eat some of the money, but we believe that a change of scenery would really do this guy good, and he can help us play. He can play a little center if we have to in a pinch. He can play right. He can play second. He's even played first before in the big leagues, believe it or not. You know what? That's a guy worth taking a flyer on, and he's under contract. That's the other thing. He is under contract for next season, so it's not a rental player. So there is a little bit more value to Whit Merrifield on the surface than people might realize, because he doesn't have this huge, gigantic contract that's an albatross around his neck. Hunter Dozier actually would be harder to trade,
right,
based on the financials.
Yeah.
So, and he's not multidimensional. He isn't a good defender. So Whit Merrifield probably has more trade value than Hunter Dozier, to be quite honest with you. Mm-hmm. Which goes back to what we said. The Royals don't have a lot of guys with trade value. Benintendi, Taylor, Scott Barlow probably has the most.
Nobody wants Dozier when you've got to pay him that much. No. Like, that's not...
Brad Keller.
Maybe could be on somebody's radar, but he's not on actual radar to trade for because, you're not giving up prospects for a guy that's under that kind of contract.
I'm pulling up Dozier.
Are going to have to eat some of that money get rid of Hunter Dozier.
Yeah, Dozier, let's pull up his money. Dozier is 4.5, but then luxury tax salary 6.2. Next year, 7.2, and that's more than Witt. And then 2024 is $9 million. So he has $18 million guaranteed on his deal before 2025, when 2025, I'm trying to see their situation, 2025, $10 million is what he's due in 2025, which I think there's some kind of option there the Royals could get out of it. But so, yeah, there's more money on the books against the Royals with Hunter Dozier than there's Whit Merrifield. And if you're a team trading for a guy and, you're not going to, and you don't want to take on a ton of money, Whit Merrifield is a more attractive option.
That contract is that team friendly next year. I thought it was, I thought it went up.
Yeah, it was backloaded. It was backloaded.
Yep.
So as the world turns, we'll see what happens with the Royals. But I am very interested. I would really like to be a fly on the wall of that clubhouse when they get back together. And like somebody said, the Royals players that are right now not playing, those 10 guys, better lay low on social media, because if they show something where they're in Cabo during this series in Toronto, can you imagine the bleep storm that you'd have then? And I don't know. One of these players might be silly enough to do it. We shall see. We shall see. But from everything that I've heard and researched yesterday, and then what Seren and Rainey Jazeera said last night, there are people in the Royals higher ups that are really, 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 really frustrated and upset with this situation and the way Witt handled some things. The Seattle Mariners haven't lost since July 1st. Since then, the Mariners have rattled off 11 consecutive wins, making the second longest streak in franchise history. They won 15 in 2001 when they won 116 games and didn't make it to the World Series. The Mariners, after winning a doubleheader on Wednesday, were down 5-1 in the seventh against the Rangers, rallied and won 6-5. We talked about this before. Well, J.J. Piccolo at one point. Well, we're not out of this thing. Well, no, we need a 14-game winning streak, and that's when we'll be back in it. Well, here we go. The Mariners, on June 19th, which is less than a month ago, were 10 games under 500, 29-39. They are now 19-3 since then. And with the Red Sox and Blue Jays both losing last night, the Mariners are alone in the second wild card spot. They're one game up on those two teams, and they're who are tied for the third wild card. And they're only a game and a half behind the Rays for the top wild card. That's what an 11-game winning streak will do for you. The Mariners, did you know this, have the longest playoff drought in major North American professional men's sports. The last time they made it was when they won 116 games in 2001.
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
I didn't realize that either. Time for a Cubs update with Jason Broadfoot.
Brought to you by the Drake Hotel. Scenes such as, or movies such as Risky Business. And
oh, good. My dad was in that one.
I've had scenes filmed in the Drake Hotel. But Cubs update, not cheerful. They lost 8-0. Nothing like getting shut out for your seventh straight loss to the Mets. So, yeah, Cubs clubhouse not about as fun as the Royals clubhouse right now. 34-55.
Right.
So, not good. Not good. Maybe All-Star break is coming at a good time for the Cubs, and
right,
they're gonna be thinking about the trade deadline as well, but for maybe different reasons, more organic baseball reasons. But yeah, it's a tough summer for the Cubs.
Right. Absolutely. I got a text from somebody. They're very strongly not happy with the Royals players not getting vaccinated, and very opinionated, and rightfully so. And I'm just reading this real quickly. I'm not able to let it all soak in. But I'll just give you a little bit of this text, because I value when people comment to us, because if it gets you riled up, then you know what?
Sure.
And I'm riled up about it, too, no doubt. No wonder the Royals aren't worth a bleep. They only think of themselves. The number one reason a person gets the vaccine is to protect others, by far. Protecting seniors, protecting aging parents and grandparents, protecting immunocompromised people. It is so upsetting that so many people view it as their choice, and so forth and so on. I'll skip ahead here. Let's see. With COVID, they're not getting the shot can kill me, an older person, like it did my cousin, his wife less than 24 hours later, his sister a year later, and put his youngest son in ICU for 14 days while being coded 3 times. So the gist of what he's saying is it ain't about necessarily protecting yourself, it's protecting others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what he's saying. That's the point of the whole thing. And so You know, he also says here, you know, this is about team. You know, are you on board? Are you a team member? And in order to win championships and to make it to the playoffs, you have to be all on board because there is no I in team. And he goes, my choice, my bleep is the last thing he says. And listen, I understand both sides of this. I totally get where this person is coming from. I highly respect this person that sent me this text, and I totally get it. I do. I truly do. I'm vaccinated, all right? So I chose to get vaccinated. I waited a little while. I'm not going to lie to you. I waited a little while, but I did get vaccinated. You know, I have children. You know, should all your kids get vaccinated? Is there a certain point where you feel better if your kid is a certain age than if, you know, if your kid's 5 or 4, do you want your kid vaccinated or not? You know, I think there's still maybe some questions about that out there because that came down further down as to, okay, now these kids 5 to 12 or whatever it was can get the vaccine or so forth. We think it's safe and this and that. And I do respect the fact that, you know, I don't want to get into the whole abortion thing, okay, but we're talking choice, right? You know, Jason has a choice to get behind the wheel drunk or not, all right? He has a choice to drink too many or not to drink too many. You know, Dusty has a choice to, you know, quit tomorrow if he doesn't want to work here anymore. All right. Does that affect people? Yes, Jason, it affects every decision you make. It affects people. Jason driving drunk affects somebody. Dusty deciding to I'm done tomorrow affects Jason and me at this workplace. Right. And our company. So we all have a right to our choice. And sometimes we make bad choices. Sometimes we make good choices. And there are situations where people have been in really tough situations that have had abortions. That is their choice, their body. And that's the whole argument now. Is it my body, my choice? Or is it, well, wait a minute, we got to protect these kids because there's too many abortions where that's the easier way out? I mean, it depends on your perspective, okay? I don't want to get all in that. But the common denominator in the whole argument with the amendment that's on the ballot here in August 2nd and talk across this entire country and talk about the vaccine and talk about this and that is what's the key word? Choice. That's the word we keep hearing, right? Choice. And if you want to be consistent in most of your arguments, if you're all about choice, then you should probably be okay with guys deciding not to get vaccinated because it's their choice. But if you're on the other side of things and saying, listen, you know, you got to be a team player, you're letting your team down. And if, you know, most of these guys are getting vaccinated on your team, then maybe you need to step up and get vaccinated because they are. And other people would say, well, you shouldn't be pressured into doing something if you don't want to do it. And that goes back to somebody saying, listen, I was bullied in school and I got pressured into doing things I didn't want to do. Why should I have done that? But that's a little bit different. You're not on a team, although you can have a bully on a football team. You can have a bully on your sports team that cares way more about the sport than somebody else. Listen, let's not kid ourselves. We got kids in high school that their number one sport's football. Other kids on the team, it might be their third favorite sport. They might not care as much about football, but they're on the team and they're a good player because they're just a great athlete. It doesn't matter what sport they play. It could be cricket. They'd be great, but it's not their favorite sport. Maybe they're not as motivated, but they go out, they help the team, but they don't really love it. Barry Sanders didn't even love football, for crying out loud. And it was his choice to retire early. And then people were like, well, way to go. He retired early. Well, he let down all his teammates that thought he was going to be back, though. You know,
right.
But nobody holds that against Barry Sanders, but that was his choice. Now, the thing is, Barry's choice didn't affect other people's health. That's what this person will say when I'm saying all these things, is that, listen, this choice that you decide not to get vaccinated actually affects and can hurt other people. Same thing with Jason. Jason's choice, and Jason, by the way, doesn't do this, but I'm just using it as a metaphor and hypothetical. If Jason decides to, or I, or whoever, drinks too many, and we're not thinking clearly, but decides, still his choice, to get behind the wheel and drive drunk. He is now putting people at risk when he's on the roadway, correct?
Right. Yeah.
Now, technically, it's his choice to do it. Legally, if he gets stopped, he's in trouble. But if he doesn't get caught, then technically, did he do anything illegal? You know, that tree fall in the forest and is right. Blah, blah, blah. But that is a choice that can really hurt people. Now, Dusty quitting tomorrow doesn't really it hurts us as a team, hurts us as a company, but it doesn't. Does it physically hurt us? No.
No.
All right. Does it affect our health? Maybe mentally. Okay. But
might have a few more.
Yeah, I might have a few more and need to get that Uber driver, you know? But I totally get what this person is saying when they're texting, is that the difference between some of these things is, Are you, and how do people think about it? Like, when you get vaccinated, are you thinking that's protecting myself and my family? Or are you getting vaccinated going, I'm probably going to get COVID anyway, but it'll protect me from having longer hospital stays? Or are people getting vaccinated going, I'm doing it not because for me, but I want to protect my grandma. I want to protect my great uncle, you know? Or I've got, Dusty's situation. I want to protect Dusty because of his health situation that he went through. And some people look at it that way, and some people don't. Right. And some people are all about themselves, so they're automatically saying, it's my body, my choice, I can do whatever I want. And that is true, and I respect it, and I get it. But there are consequences to some of the choices that you do make, and sometimes they're unintended consequences. You're not, when you say, I'm not getting vaccinated, you're not purposely trying to say, I'm going to get people sick. But you may have somebody that is compromised or has a weaker immune system that you may or may not be aware of that you hang out with or be near, and you may unknowingly, unwittingly put them at risk. And I think that's what this person is saying is, listen, we've got this, we know this. And of course, once again, it goes back to, what do you believe? Do you believe in science? Yeah. Well, science is crap. Okay, well, what do you believe in? Some talk show host that doesn't know anything about science? I mean, that comes back to, what do you believe in? Whit Merrifield so strongly believes in not getting a vaccine unless a good team picks him up. That irks Royals fans. And it would irk this person that texted me, and rightfully so.
And a professional, and especially a professional
baseball
player.
I'll risk people in Kansas City because we are losing. I'll risk being around people in Kansas City. But if I go to New York, I'm going to protect those people.
Especially professional baseball players. They say, what happens in the clubhouse stays in the clubhouse, and we're a band of brothers and all this stuff. But you get 10 people that are unvaccinated, and whatever reason those reasons are, you're just now playing the percentages of now your whole team of as an unvaccinated person. There is just, it's just math, it's just science. It's a better percentage of you catching it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a better percentage of you catching it harder or tougher than say a vaccinated person, and therefore you now have a better chance of spreading it, especially to the other unvaccinated people. So you have a bigger chance of a bigger outbreak, which hurts the team way more than 4 games.
Yes,
because you're not all going to catch it at the same time. So you're like, a couple of people are going to catch it here, 3 or 4 are going to catch it later, 3 or 4 more are going to catch it on the third part, on the third end of it. So it's just, it doesn't make any sense. If you're all in this together, like baseball players love to tell you about all the time, you're not following your own advice, your own,
listen,
you know, your own words.
Let me jump in here for a second. Mm-hmm. The Royals catch a lot of heat because this is the top of mind. It's a national story, and they have 10 of their players that weren't vaccinated. But let's not sit here and act like the Chiefs are perfect.
Oh, no.
All right?
Yeah.
The Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes is vaccinated, and he was encouraging his team to get vaccinated, all right? And he's a leader. And as you said, the Chiefs, I believe there was something out there that the Chiefs were one of the higher vaccinated teams in the league. Now, that's great. They're not all vaccinated. No. We know this. Harrison Butker, we brought this up yesterday off the air. Harrison Butker and some other Chiefs players missed a game because they weren't vaccinated and they failed a test or whatever. They weren't vaccinated. They had to sit out. Butker missed a game. Kelsey actually had it, so I think that's why he missed his
Kelsey
game.
Had it. Tyreek had it. I think he was back for that game
yeah.
by the time it
But I don't know
off,
if they were vaccinated.
The same
were
week.
They vaccinated?
I don't know.
Yeah, but
I
we know
no
Butker
idea.
Wasn't.
Yeah.
Okay, and we know there's a few other Chiefs players that are not vaccinated. So if we're going to sit here and rail against the Royals because they have 10 guys that aren't vaccinated, and granted, that's 30 to 40% of their roster, which is alarming. But if we're going to rail against them, shouldn't we be railing against the Chiefs, even if it's 5 out of 53 and 10%? Should we still be railing about that?
Kind of, yeah.
I mean, yeah. Now the difference is the Chiefs aren't going to, those guys aren't going to sit out games because we don't go play to Canada with a mandate there traveling out of the country. However, if they get COVID, they're going to have, it takes them longer to come back. because they're not vaccinated. We've seen that in many sports. So it shouldn't just be the Royals. Yes, the Royals are being pointed out as the example because they have so many guys that didn't get vaccinated. That's the big part of the story as well. But let's not sit here and act like every – now, the Yankees and Astros reportedly are all vaccinated. Tom Brady with the Buccaneers, he got vaccinated. But guess what? Not the entire team got vaccinated.
No.
It wasn't 100%. Now, there are some organizations, they're 100%, and good for them. Those are the ones that we should probably build up and say, okay, that's an example of being all in on team. Because you know whoever's 100% vaccinated, you know there are guys who are reluctantly getting it, but doing it for probably for the team's sake. Whereas these other guys in the Royal situation, whether it's some Chiefs players or any other organization, the Buccaneers, whoever, Kyrie Irving, of course, would be another example.
I don't think Aaron Rodgers is vaccinated.
Aaron Rodgers not vaccinated, last we knew. Then you are putting other people at risk. Some people believe that. Are you putting your team at risk of making the playoffs or being as successful when they're working their butt off to win a championship, and then you're not doing your part as they see it? I'm not saying that person's wrong for doing it, because I understand the choice part, but then you're looked upon by your teammates as, hey, man, you're not fully on board. You're going to yell at me. I got to be at 6 a.m. workouts. You won't even get a damn shot. You know, I'm just saying that's what these players can say. Listen, Aaron Rodgers, you want to scream and yell at me because I ain't working hard enough. I ain't here at film study at 6 a.m. because you are. That's great, but at least I got a shot. I mean, that can be the breakup of a locker room. This could easily happen with the Royals. Like, Whit Merrifield wants to get on Bobby Witt Jr. Let's just give a hypothetical. So the Royals come back. Bobby Witt Jr. doesn't run out a ball to first base. Now, he always does, but let's say he doesn't. Yeah. Whit Merrifield is respected, supposedly, veteran of the team that's 33. Bobby Witt Jr. is 22-23. Bobby Whit Merrifield says, Bobby, you got to run that one out. Oh, yeah. Well, maybe you should get a shot. I mean, seriously, that's happens. How that could go.
Yeah. I don't know whether he did it on his own, or, but like Anthony Rizzo as a Cub didn't get the shot. It was well documented. He was hesitant to get the shot. And he said, he does have some past health reasons or health issues, and he used that as a reason, whether it was right or right. If it's just cover, I don't know.
Sure.
But he was reluctant to get the shot as a Chicago Cub. Now, he is now a Yankee. And
we know he's vaccinated. We said 100%.
Yeah, said about, did he do that? Was it just time and he learned a little bit more and he just did it
felt
on
more
his own?
Comfortable.
Or did he get into this locker room where everybody said, hey, Anthony, we've heard you're not vaccinated.
You need to.
We're all in this. We're the Yankees. We don't take years off. We're all in this.
Right.
You know, get your shot. Was he pressured into it? I don't know, and he probably won't answer that truthfully. I mean, he'll you know, if asked. But you're right. Those are the interesting things in a locker room. If I'm a wide receiver, and we've seen quarterbacks scream at wide receivers for running the wrong route or whatever. But if that happens one too many times on the wrong day and Aaron Rodgers yells at me for supposedly running the wrong route, you're right. I'm like, hey, you might get knocked out of a game because you don't have this shot.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're putting me and my family at risk, and I've got a kid at home that's compromised.
Right. Right. You know, you're putting my health at risk.
Yeah.
You might get told you can't play in a game that vaccinated players can play in just because there's some other outbreak around or within the facility. But, you know, so don't yell at me. You're right. It could be an issue down the line for some of these teams.
Selfishly, you can say, I have incentives in my contract here. We're a few games left in the season, and if I get to 1,000 yards, I get a $2 million incentive kicked in. I don't have a good chance with Jordan Love. You just cost me $2 million because you didn't get a shot. Now, that's an extreme push of the envelope, but you know how people rationalize stuff in the world today.
Playoff bonus. And,
yes,
and we
that's
went,
true.
We went 11-6 instead of 12-5 or whatever it is.
So, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I want to thank the person that texted me because I think they make some really, really good points. And I can't say that I disagree necessarily. I one of the things we try to do on the show, and you know, I've had people tell me this, and I ran into somebody this the other day, and they said, you know, One thing I like doing when I listen to you guys talk sports is that you guys don't just pull stuff out of left field like some of the talking heads that you see on TV that just want to stir things up. You actually think it out, talk it out, and you actually sometimes have solutions, or you'll actually try to understand both sides. And that's one thing that I pride myself with this show, being the host of it, and Dusty and Jason are our co-host and fill in and help out, is that I want us to be as objective as we can on the show when it comes to certain things. Now, I might be really set in my ways on a particular issue, and Dusty may throw something at me, and I'm like, oh, you know what? I hadn't thought about that. That's a really good point, you know? Like Dusty earlier, I thought it was a great point. Like, man, the Royals loved him, and oh, no, God, he's going to be traded, and now all of a sudden, let's get him out of here. I mean, that's a great, great observation that I hadn't thought of. And so I'm open to listening to those things. Whether I agree with everything somebody tells to me, nah, I don't know about that, but I'm willing to listen. And also try to put yourself in the shoes of other people. Like, it is very easy to say everybody should get a vaccination and it'll protect people and I believe in it, so that's easy. It's black and white. It's never black and white. Nothing in this country is black and white when it comes to issues anymore. Everybody tries to make it that way. You know, gun reform is not a black and white issue in regards to simple, right? Abortion, the issue with abortion is not a black and white simple issue. There's exceptions to everything in regards to rape and incest and whatever else, right? We talked about health issues for the mom. It's not as clear cut as people make it out to be. It's also complicated and confusing various things that are put on a ballot anymore because you're like, after a while, you're spinning, well, what does this really mean? Am I understanding this correctly and so forth and so on? And you may interpret things differently than I do. And so it is best to try to understand both sides of an issue as much as you can, even if you're leaning or even if you're pretty much solid in your stance. And that's one of the problems we have in this country is we have to be, you have to be on my side and to hell with everything else. And I don't want to hear from you because you don't see it the way I do, or I'm going to rationalize anything, even if it's a gigantic stretch, but I'll never admit it, because it helps my agenda and my argument. And so when somebody sends me a text with that and takes the time to send a long text, I appreciate and respect that. Whether I totally agree with it or not is beside the point. But I want people to give me input. Like Max and I, Max is a loyal listener to this show for many years, and we've had other people that I've run into, Dusty has too, that we talk about these issues with people out in the community that we talk about on this show or Waterside Wake Up or whatever, and we have some very interesting conversations. And there are times where, you know, we might raise our voices and go, you're crazy. How do you see it that way? But at the end, we start laughing about, hey, you know what? I respect you. I appreciate your opinion. I may not agree with it, but I listen to it. You know, and I understand where you might be coming from. I think you may be twisted it too far this way, but you may think what I said is twisted a different way. And so if we could be more respectful of people and we could appreciate people more often and actually understand both sides, which we try to do on the show. You know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you, and if people have been listening the last couple of days, you've noticed that I haven't ripped Whit Merrifield and said he has to be off the Royals. Has anybody heard us say that?
No.
Nobody on this show has said Whit Merrifield needs to leave the Royals. Now, there are a lot of Royals fans that want him gone already. All right? There might be people in the organization want Whit Merrifield gone. And I'm not saying that it might not be better if he is gone. But I'm not going to come up here like some talking head on ESPN or Fox and come pounding my fist and saying Whit Merrifield has to go and a knee-jerk reaction when he might have made an honest mistake and simply said the truth and then like, oh, man. As soon as he said it, because we've all said things that we would love to take back, always. Sometimes we've written things we'd love to go back and erase it, and we can't. And so I understand that people don't see everything the way I see it. And I think that's a major problem in society today is I think there are a lot of people up there going, I don't understand why you don't see it my way. Well, if you can't understand why they don't see it your way, there's part of the problem. Major part of the problem.
Absolutely. I mean, oh, you get all you till you're blue in the face. Sure you're talking about like it's not anything that the government is involved in is not a black and white
it's
issue.
It's super dark
it's,
gray.
It's like there's gray matter everywhere.
Yeah,
and well, it's flying everywhere.
I heard. I was grabbing something, but I heard two words that I like to put together, but they also mean separate. There's a difference between understanding.
Yes.
You said the word understand.
Uh-huh.
And there's a difference between agreeing.
Yes.
There's understanding and agreeing.
Yeah,
and if they're two separate things, right. That's you can usually work together on something.
Right. But if you don't have either, you're,
right.
You have no chance.
Right.
And there are a lot of situations now where we have no chance. It's just not worth the time.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a conversation that could go
forever.
Very, very deep, and especially with just this. And it's wild to me that we're still talking this long about vaccination.
Yes.
In July of 2022. Mm-hmm. Because I literally know people that should have the vaccine based on what they have, like their issues. But their doctors have literally told them, don't get the vaccine because it's going to hurt you even more than you already hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, it's not a black and white issue. That the question of putting the needle in your arm and taking the shot mm-hmm. is not a black and white issue for everybody.
Right.
You can be informed. You can sit here and say you're informed if you're Whit Merrifield or Aaron Rodgers or whoever. I made the decision to trust the doctor that saved my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I straight up asked him right away when they said it was going to be available for immunocompromised people, should I do this? And he said I should. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, he's not led me astray anywhere yet.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows my condition better than anybody else on this universe does because he's seen me enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the only one that knows how I feel probably better than he does because it's my body. And I understand how it's working, right, and what it's doing and how I feel on that certain day. But, I mean, who knows if I'd even be here if not for this guy or mm-hmm. somebody else to help me out. So I trusted that advice, and I went with it. Should I get a booster? He said, yes, I got a booster, right? So, mm-hmm. I mean, everybody has to make that decision for themselves, but also you need people in your life. And I'm not just talking about medical things. I'm not talking about any of this. You need people in your life that are going to have your back
mm-hmm.
and that you can trust with certain decisions in your life, or else, you know, you talk about it being your choice, but I think a lot of people need help in a lot of different areas, right?
No doubt.
And so I would encourage you to, if you're doing the research and you don't think it's right for you, I'm not going to yell at you.
Shouldn't your research involve actually talking to medical professionals, though?
Right, yeah, exactly.
That's the funny part.
Like,
research. What, you talked to four players that didn't get the vaccine. You talked to the Joe at the grocery store. That's not research.
This is my hang up on that line, and we hear it a lot. I've done my own research. I want to hear, like, for you, if you're arguing to change my mind, the next thing I want to hear is where that research came from.
Yeah. Cite your sources.
If it came from a cable news channel, we're done.
Yeah.
Either way.
No, depending whatever channel it is.
Yeah, if it came from a 24/7 cable news channel, we are done.
Yes.
But if it came from screamingbaldeagle.com, we're done. You know, it is. Give me a doctor.
Give me a few doctors.
Yeah, give me a doctor. Yeah. Yeah, we'll start. Give me a PhD, DMD. Yeah, give me some letters. Give me some of those initials.
I'm not gonna like discredit somebody because they don't tell me that. Because I don't. Aaron Rodgers might have talked to his doctor and said,
"Well, sure,
you probably shouldn't do this."
Yeah, right.
Maybe Whit Merrifield did that.
Yeah,
obviously, probably
know.
Not.
Guess,
if he's changing his mind, if he goes somewhere else,
I would say
but
so.
It's just like, you know, I'm not. Listen, if people make a choice about this, I don't care where their research came from. Like if they said no, I'm not doing it, they're not doing it. Like I'm not one of those people that is just going to be like, oh, you have to do this because everybody else says you should. And if that was their decision, that's their decision.
Aren't you uneducated on the situation if you don't actually talk to people that are actually in the field?
I would just
say, I would say so, but I'm not going to. What I'm saying is, I'm not going to require Aaron Rodgers to tell me who he talked to about it to make.
Well, you can't.
Decision.
So
that's what I'm saying.
And
like,
I think
you want people to hear that, and you want people to tell you that. But it's like
you would hope Aaron Rodgers is, but you don't know that.
If we're having a discussion, I don't care where you're getting it from. But if you're arguing to change my mind, then I
will.
I need the second level. I think that's where we're at, and
I think too many people think that these people are arguing to change our mind instead of just saying, this is why I didn't do it, right? Like, I don't think Novak Djokovic is sitting here telling other people not to get vaccinated.
I haven't heard him
I don't
say
think
that.
Aaron Rodgers has ever told anybody not to get vaccinated.
They just said why they don't.
So that's all I need from those guys.
And Aaron Rodgers may, as a public figure, may be – you're right. He got told by somebody he trusts, don't do this. and he
because
as
not
a public
all people
figure,
in the medical profession
he might
say
protecting.
The same things.
No,
about
I was
going
to say
that,
that's why I, that's why I said you yeah. don't talk to just one doctor.
Yeah,
he just like you don't watch one that. Cable news show.
Yeah,
you
yeah, should exactly.
I mean, if you're gonna rely on cable news shows, then then go watch four or five and see if you can get a consensus.
Right.
Okay, instead of you know, I wouldn't just talk to one doctor. I'd talk to various people in the field. I'd talk to a nurse, a doctor, maybe an administrator. Who knows? Maybe there's a scientist out there. I don't know, but I will say this. this is the part that has cracked me up for so long about this whole thing since COVID started, and it just blows me away. Some of the people I even know, and some of the things they cite, I just shake my head. I'm like, really? I'm like, you have access to get the information straight from a very good source. It would require you to send one text or one phone call or walk across the street and talk to the person. And yet you're going to sit there on Facebook and that's your source of information for people you've never met, but you won't trust people you know. It is insane to me. Like, do you go to the bank and ask the bank how to fix your lawnmower?
No.
Do you go to the auto mechanic shop and say, hey, can you give me some financial advice on whether or not I should sell my oil stock? You know, do you go to your financial advisor and ask him, should I take this job in another city? Probably not. You know, are you going to talk to Scott Frost about what's the right way to bowl? You know, I mean, no, you're going to talk to Scott Frost about, hey, how do I play better football? Am I going to talk to Bill Self? Hey, Bill, can you tell me how to play ping pong? No, I'm going to talk to somebody that knows how to teach me pickleball. I picked up pickleball. Do you think I'm going to go to Bill Self? Hey, Bill, you're great at basketball. How do you play pickleball? What's the best strategy? He'd be like, he'd look at you like, what is wrong with you? Why don't you talk to somebody that plays pickleball? I don't play pickleball. Do I look like I play pickleball? Look at me, all right? I coach basketball and I hang out with Bob Huggins and drink beers, okay? That's the thing that cracks me up. Like, I have so many people I know, roundabout or directly know, that have their choice, and I'm cool with it. And they don't, and in fairness, they aren't forcing me to do anything, and I don't force anything on them. But then I see where some of the stuff they throw on social media, where they get their stuff. And I'm like, did you not? Like, we literally have all kinds of doctors in North Central Kansas. Did you ever talk to one? Like, I'll bet you many haven't. And it wouldn't be that hard. Well, I don't want to bother them. So something so important in the world, whether they get vaccinated or not, you don't want to bother. But you want to bother everybody else with your posting left and right on social media. You're not worried about bothering people there.
Most doctors but would have loved.
Doctors would love. We had Dr. Conant. I forgot how to pronounce his name. He Smith County Memorial Hospital. He was on with us in the middle of this whole COVID thing, talking about the symptoms of COVID and so forth and so on. We actually had people on for a full week on this show in the medical field from not just one hospital, from various hospitals in North Central Kansas, talking about the symptoms, the best way to treat it, what to do, so forth and so on. We actually talked to people in the field. I didn't call up my local insurance agent, my financial advisor, my grocery store owner, and I didn't go talk to the co-op elevator manager and have them on talking about it, did I? That's the part that blows me away. I'm like, I'm blown away at how easily people believe something, but then other stuff they will not believe no matter how much the evidence is there or not. It's just, that's what blows me away today. It's people will believe whatever they already believe. That's my motto. People are going to believe whatever they still believe, because once they get into that rabbit hole, they ain't changing their mind. And as Dusty said, there's no point in wasting your time talking to those people because they've made up their decision, and that is fine. The thing is, Whit Merrifield hasn't made up his mind. He's not in a rabbit hole. The Royals suck, so I ain't getting vaccinated. That's the message.
We have more information at our fingertips, but we use less of it
yes,
than we ever have.
That's how I feel.
Yeah.
I agree with that. And I understand the conundrum of there's so much information out there.
Yeah, that can be too
how
much.
Do
yeah,
you, yeah. How do I truly believe this or that? I totally get it. But if I got 10, listen, if I go talk to 10 doctors and 9 of them tell me, dude, it is all good. You should get vaccinated. I'm probably going to go with the 9. But there's some people, I swear to God, they will talk to 9 and they will say, get the vaccine. Yeah. And then the 10th will say, no. All right, finally, I got the answer I wanted. I'm not getting it. Well, you were going to not get it anyway.
so many years they had 4 out of 5 dentists approve this chewing gum, but now we've started looking for the fifth.
What about the guy that hates that gum? Because I hate that gum. I don't like the marketing campaign.
Find that guy.
That color of gum is nasty. Have you tried it? No, I haven't tried it. I just hear it's nasty. Yeah. Well, see, there you go. You didn't try it yourself. You have no idea. I always love that, too. Man, that stuff's horrible. Have you tried it? No. How the hell you know, then? If you didn't try it yourself, how do you know? It's amazing. All right. Former Chiefs tackle Mitchell Schwartz has been... Nope, nothing about vaccinations. Good. He's officially announced his retirement. He had a back injury that held him to just 6 starts in 2020. Prior to the injury, he had made 134 consecutive starts, released by the Chiefs after 2020, sat out all of last year. He called it a career yesterday, saying in a statement, "I'm currently feeling as good as I once have, but it's clear my body won't ever be the same. The nerve pain down my legs is no longer a daily occurrence, but it might never fully go away. Winning the Super Bowl is a pinnacle of my career. I've met so many great people and forged relationships that will last a lifetime. Football is a big part of my life and always will be. I love the game. I have a passion for sharing my knowledge, but I never define myself as a football player. I've enjoyed so much time in the NFL, and I walk away feeling fulfilled." In all, the 33-year-old Schwartz played 9 seasons in the NFL, and of course, 4 with the Cleveland Browns, 5 with the Chiefs, and was the guy protecting Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl when the Chiefs beat the San Francisco 49ers. And I say thank you, Mitchell Schwartz. In the NBA, one of the top remaining free agents yesterday signed an offer sheet looking to join a new team. The Suns restricted free agent center DeAndre Ayton reached a deal on a 4-year, $133 million max contract with the Pacers. However, the Suns didn't take very long, a few hours, and they decided to match it. And Ayton will return to Phoenix, will be under contract through the 2025-2026 season. But the very important thing to this deal, it has nothing to do with the years, has nothing to do with the money. The important thing about this, and the Suns have somehow strategically made a mistake, and that is they now cannot trade DeAndre Ayton without his consent.
I was going to look
They could
that.
Have before, yeah. Now they cannot.
It's so up until a year, isn't it? Like after that year.
This next year, they cannot trade him without his consent. Yeah. Well, hello, if you want Kevin Durant, you're going to have to trade DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah.
And the Suns fans were thinking they could get Kevin Durant. Now, and they thought DeAndre Ayton could be part of that package. It'd be a sign-in trade, whatever. Now, they can't. If DeAndre Ayton says, "I don't want to go to Brooklyn," that kills a Durant deal.
Yeah.
Or any deal.
Phoenix might have to go to plan B. Look at Donovan Mitchell. Utah's in a little bit different situation. The Nets can theoretically, in theory, say, all right, we still have Ben Simmons. We probably can't get rid of Kyrie. If we add the right pieces, we could probably still make something out of this if we believe Ben Simmons is healthy and willing to play. But Utah's in a way different situation. I think they're just ready to blow this thing up. So
why would Phoenix want Donovan Mitchell when he plays the same spot as Devin Booker?
You can never have too many wings. Never have too many.
I don't see that working, but
no, I.
But they're too similar. Durant brings a whole different dynamic.
Oh yeah,
a whole different position.
Yeah, I would.
That's why. That's why I just don't see why you'd have to give up a lot for Donovan Mitchell. Too.
You would, but it'd be a different lot. You could give up just money and picks, and keep Ayton.
You'd have to give up Mikal Bridges for
Well, yeah, you would definitely have to give up Bridges, but I think Mitchell is still a little bit better.
Cam
than Bridges.
Johnson, might have to give him up.
Yeah,
I don't think that would be a good fit at all.
It's an option.
Yeah. Well, it's always an option when the guys are available, if they're available. Reports say that maybe the Utah Jazz will entertain trades or Donovan Mitchell. But the Suns have, by not doing this right, okay.
That was a clever move, though, by the Pacers.
Agent. It was a clever move by the Ayton's agent.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the Pacers were thinking, hey, because there's certain rules about trading with that fourth and fifth year too. That was, I think, a clever try by the Pacers to say, all right, we're going to make this as hard as possible for you to match this. But Phoenix said, I think we're better off trying to do it and figure it out from there. But I think, you know, I don't think the Suns were that far off just by running back what they have. So I have no problem with them matching this and giving it another go.
Well, they
go.
Should match it. It'd be stupid not to match it.
Right.
Let DeAndre Ayton go for that.
I mean, if you're not going to get KD, and you want to have him anyway.
Yeah.
So
and once again, maybe he would accept the trade to Brooklyn, and then this will all work out. But it makes it more difficult if the Suns want to trade DeAndre Ayton. And of course, you said 1 year. Yeah, but this might be the year they want to make that big
exactly.
move.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
why it hurts them now. After 1 year, then it's not as big a deal.
Yeah.
British Open is underway, and here's the updated, is it Cameron Young, right?
Yeah.
Not this country singer, Chris Young. No. I just got C. Young here. or Royals or World Series champion, Chris Young, who was 6'80". Cameron Young is 8 under after the first round. He will tee off here in a little while, apparently. And then, hey, you know this guy named Dustin Johnson? He's 8 under. 4 under today through 15, so he's tied for the lead. And then a guy named Gooch, Taylor Gooch. Oh, yeah, I knew that guy. He is 7 under. And then Scotty Scheffler, who's number one golfer in the world, I believe, right now on the rankings. He, on the PGA Tour, he is 7 under. And Rory McIlroy is 6 under, but has not teed off around 2 yet. How about Adam Scott? Haven't heard from him in a while. He's 6 under through 16 today. And I'll scroll down here. Bryson DeChambeau is 3 under. And, oh, yes, we got a, the guys that everybody thinks of when it comes to golf, and I can't find them on the leaderboard. Phil Mickelson is even par after the first round. Zach Johnson, even par. Brooks Koepka is 1 over. You know, if he'd play more events, he'd be sharper. there's a guy named Tiger. I've heard of him. What did Tiger end up doing yesterday? Oh, yeah, 7 over. He's tied for 147th place. He's 1 over today through 9, so Tiger more than likely ain't going to make a cut.
No.
But it's funny. I heard from some of these golfers, you know, we're hearing these reports from golfers during the week or practice rounds. You know, Tiger really is hitting the ball as well as I've ever seen him hit it, blah, 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 da, da. I'm like, dude, you're just saying that. Like, my first thought was, that's great, but he's going to have to walk 18 holes 4 straight days. That's going to be the bigger issue. And so I wasn't really believing it. And I thought, you know what? That's just the ultimate respect for your elders. And a guy that is a golf god, and Tiger is, he's a golf god, is these guys are going to say that. Even if Tiger goes out there and looks horrible, do you think they're really going to say, yeah, Tiger really is struggling? They're not going to say that. They're going to say what they need to say. So when I heard, oh, he's, I'm like, yeah, that would be awesome if he could win the British Open. That'd be phenomenal if he's in contention. But I really, I was like, he's got to have a great first round to have a shot. And he had a really bad first round, and that'll do that. Now, does that hurt the ratings for TV for the British Open? Who has the British Open? ABC or NBC? One of them.
Well, it's NBC. Is it NBC has it's British? On Peacock right now.
Oh, then so. NBC has it.
Yeah.
So are you going to get all excited about Cameron Young, an American golfer, and Dustin Johnson and Taylor Gooch and Scotty Scheffler, all American golfers that are sitting 1, 2, 3, 4 in the standings right now at this moment? Does that get you going? Are you going to start watching because those guys are involved? I mean, Dustin Johnson's a name. The other three aren't. Maybe Scheffler's becoming one. Cameron Young is a young up-and-coming golfer that might be the new face of golf that Dusty talked about that the PGA needs to market. But the big names, a lot of some of those other big names aren't really in the fray right now. Rory is there, of course. Mm-hmm. That might help, but I don't know. Is it going to move the needle?
It's not going to do anything for me tomorrow, but yeah.
Maybe Sunday. If round
we
four.
Get that leaderboard on Sunday, I might try it. But,
okay,
but you also have to figure the British Open comes at a different time, so it's like.
Sure.
It's in the morning, and
yeah.
Probably not going to set an alarm for it, but, you know.
You know what cracks me up? The prize fund, the purse for the British Open is $14 million, and these guys that are from LIV Golf that are playing like Koepka and Mickelson and Dustin Johnson, like, $14 million. Come on, man. That what, for first? No, that's the really? Seriously? I got $100 million in the bank, and now I have to do anything for it other than be good for a long time, and then they eventually pull me over to LIV Golf. That cracks me up. All right, and then one more note. This just popped up, and this is big news. Chiefs franchise-tagged offensive tackle Orlando Brown Jr.'s agent, Michael Portner, tells NFL Network, the sides were not able to reach a long-term deal. KC offered Brown the highest signing bonus and a average per year on a 6-year deal that was pretty good. Don't know exactly the numbers, but Brown's team decided there wasn't enough security over the life of the 6-year deal. So thus, they turned down what the Chiefs offered. Now, we don't know how much per year they offered as of now. And so it looks like Orlando Brown will have to either be traded or he will need to be franchise tagged and have to decide if he's going to. Yeah. Well, he's already tagged. He's got to decide whether to sign the tender or not. And because, right, that was the deadline to work out a deal. So now they can't work out a deal long term. Yeah. And so it's interesting.
It's over until the next negotiating period begins.
Do you think Orlando Brown and his agent's making a mistake by turning down some? Let's say it was, we don't know for sure, but let's say it was $22 million a year. 6 years, $22 million a year. And probably $40-50 million guaranteed. Now you're going to take a 1-year, $16 million deal. That's a bit of a gamble, isn't it?
It's always a gamble. I feel like if you don't take a long term deal that's there for you, You know, it's just like any other gamble, right? Sometimes it might pay off for you in the end, or you're going to suffer for it for the rest of your career.
Right.
And financially, anyway. Not suffer. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to get the money you would have gotten had you just taken it. If you get hurt, if you have a bad year. But I would say, as young as he is, maybe it's not a big mistake,
mm-hmm.
but obviously if he gets hurt, that changes everything.
Sure. It's a gamble.
It's, yeah. But if he was older, I'd say, yeah, it's a huge mistake.
I would agree.
Just take the money.
Because he's, what, 25?
25, I think.
Yeah. It says, Mike Garofalo says, the Chiefs and Orlando Brown made a final run at a long-term deal before this afternoon's deadline, but couldn't reach an agreement. I spoke to Jamal Brown, who is serving as Orlando's mentor. He said they didn't feel comfortable with the lack of security in the deal. Ian Rappaport says, there was a strong effort to get the deal done from the Chiefs' perspective. They offered Orlando Brown more based on average per year than Trent Williams. But security and structure were the issues, and so thus he will play on the tag.
So his guaranteed money is not
the guarantee wasn't
high
enough.
What he wants,
that's what it was.
Or security probably means it was front loaded, or and the back end wasn't as
well. If it's not guaranteed, they don't have to deliver on the back end of the contract. In NFL, that's the tricky part.
Yep.
You know, 6 year deal. That's the thing. You know, they come up with these 6-7 year deals. Those years don't mean anything.
No.
Because usually they don't ever. Well, look at Michael Vick's contract. Remember all that. $100 million, 6-7 years, it was all about the guarantee money.
A good rule of thumb is follow where the signing bonus goes to.
Yes,
and signing bonus, and probably take half of the contract length.
Yes, agreed.
And that's usually about what the guaranteed length of a deal is. So
totally
anything
agree.
After that, they can still do it. They can still follow it.
Sure,
but it's not as certain.
Yeah. Absolutely. So there you go. Orlando Brown will have to either play on the franchise tag, or the Chiefs will have to make a move and get rid of him, and more than likely he'll be on the tag. Poor Orlando Brown will only get $16.2 million he had to settle for.
It is all guaranteed, though.
Yes, it is. The franchise tag is. So I would expect him to sign it, but I bet you he won't sign it until he's ready to come to camp. He might just decide, I don't want to play in training camp at all in the heat, and I'll be ready for week one. But that's finally put a little closure on that. There'll be no long-term deal for Orlando Brown and the Chiefs, at least not this offseason.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.